Glory to Jesus. Are you ready for the Word of God? Good. Okay, I'll hand over to Grace and to Daniel.
Call today's word, a people of power. That's what we are. That's what God's called us to be. It's not our power, it's God's power. And God spoke to me. I was doing some reading and praying on Thursday evening. We were talking with the young people on Friday about how you hear from God. And a verse that leapt out at me was Joshua chapter 24 and verse 13. It says in my translation, "And I have given you a land that you didn't labour for, and cities which you didn't build, and you dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted, not do ye eat." And it just resonated in my spirit. I have given you a land. This is where we are right now. God said, "I have given you this land, and you didn't have to labour for it." Those of you who were with us before we moved here, did we have to have a fundraising programme? Were we raising finance for a building? No, we weren't. All we had was the little offering box, and we were probably about 25 people. But God had said to us, 18 years ago now, as next week, God said, "I've got a land for you to inhabit." He said, "You won't have to raise the finance for it. You won't have to build it. And you will enjoy the fruit of it." And today, the family has grown, and God is blossoming us in the land that He has planted us in. This is our promised land. 18 years ago, God sowed it. He said, "That's for harvest fields and nobody else." And many tried for it when we were unaware of it, but God kept it for us. Be encouraged this afternoon. God keeps His promises. And I think you're all a bit quiet this afternoon. And I think you need to get up now and go and bless the family, all of you. We're one family in Christ Jesus. God has brought us together into this land. And He says, "This is your land. This is my family in this land." Now let's go and bless one another. I thank God for you, Daniel. Talk about our family. Hey! Christine, I thank God for this family He's given us, eh? He's brought us all together. Thank you, Jesus. And we bless. Because God has brought us together. Amen. God keeps His promises. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20 says, "Believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe His prophets." Believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe His prophets. I want to perhaps you don't know of this one, but it must be 20 years now that God gave us another promise. And a lady came from the Philippines and she prophesied to us and she said that God would do something in Harvest Fields that had never ever been done before. It would be like when the walls of Jericho came down. It would be a first. She said that we were to stay in unity so that not even a human hair could get between us. God reminded us it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. I don't know what this first is. I don't know what God's going to do, but I know He's going to do it because God said it. That's all we need to know. If God said it, it's done. Don't reason it. Don't try and work it out. Just receive it. Since that time, the devil has sought hard to destroy Harvest Field. And he's whittled us down, he's reduced us to just a few people while he sorted out and sifted out. And when his time was right, he took us from one place and replanted us. And he said, you will prosper in the land. I want to have a look at what happened. Well, just quickly refer to when the walls of Jericho came down. Just one verse we need to look at, and it's Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. God said to Joshua, see. All we need to do when God has promised us something is just see it. Keep your eyes on what God has said and believe what God has said, and he will do it. Did he do it in Jericho? Did he? All they had to do was follow the ark of God, the presence of God. They had to follow God's instructions. And who did the work? God did the work. And the walls came down. The enemy was terrified of them. They had such a powerful reputation because of God's power at work in them. I don't know if you know, but archaeologists have since excavated the site. And the walls didn't go that way. The walls went straight down into the earth. They just disappeared. They just ran over flat ground. Is that a miracle? So God said to them, believe me. When I tell you something, believe it. In Joshua chapter 10 and verse 8, we have another situation that the children of Israel were facing. And in Joshua 10 and verse 8, God said to Joshua, don't be afraid of them. I've given them into your hand. God said to Joshua, fear not. Fear is one of the devil's greatest weapons. We immediately, in the natural, we look at it and say, I can't do it. In the natural, it intimidates us. And if we do that, we're defeated. But God says, don't look at the situation. Don't look at your enemy. Don't look at your problem. Don't look at the obstacle. No matter how impossible it looks, don't be afraid. Am I bigger than your problem? Is God bigger than any problem the devil can give you? Amen. God is bigger. God is greater. God is mightier than any problem the devil can throw up, any hindrance he can throw up. He cannot stop God working. On this occasion, God did another first. In Joshua 10, verses 12 to 14, Joshua needed more time. They were well into the battle. The sun was going to fade shortly, and they hadn't defeated their enemies. And Joshua cried out, and he said, sun, stand still. God heard him and did it. God needs Joshua's. He needs mighty men and women who will not look at the circumstances and be defeated. When everything is going wrong, don't look at it, look at God. If God will keep the sun from going down for one man, what will he do for you? There was a full 24 hours missing. Think what that involved. I don't know how he did it. I can't possibly work it out. I remember somebody saying, it's a wonder we didn't all spin off, because God had to hold the earth in position. Our God's a miracle-working God. Don't be afraid to ask him for anything. Be strong and courageous, he was constantly saying to Joshua. God's a mighty God. He's looking for courageous people. There's another man who was just as courageous as Joshua, and he inspires me. He was Caleb. Caleb went with Joshua to spy out the promised land. And they came back and they said to Moses, we can take that land. No problem. But 10 of the others who went in said, oh no, no, there are giants in that land. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. It's impossible. And the people listened to the 10. And they were so afraid they didn't go in. But in Joshua chapter 14 and verse 11, we read about Caleb. Joshua 14 and verse 11. This is what Caleb said. He said, I am as strong today as I was at 40. At 40, he was strong and ready to go in and take the land. But now he was 85. Edwin, he was 85. And Caleb said, I'm still ready. I'm as strong today as I was 40 years ago. And he didn't just say, I'll go in. He said, I'm going for the high ground. I'm going for Hebron, the high place. He'd waited a long time, but he'd never let go of the desire. He'd never let go of the promise. And because of that, God kept him strong. It doesn't matter how long you're waiting for God's promise. God will do it. Never let go of the promise. Keep your eyes on God. Expect it to happen. And God will do it. It says in Joshua chapter 21 and verse 45, not one of God's promises to Israel failed. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. God will always keep his promise. We heard of, your mum's name. Puma. We've heard of Puma say how God had given her a promise about Daniel. It was a dark time for Puma.
Puma ji jivan mestuna kalo samayma wa hirirahnu bhayeko thiyo andhakarma.
She looked at God. She looked at the promise. And she said, God, you said you can do it. You will do it. When the time is right, the promise will be fulfilled. And Daniel can share testimony to the change in his life. We need to stand for our children. The devil can get such a grip on them that they can't break free. But if you love them and you keep God in remembrance of his word, the word of God will break the power of the enemy. God's word is awesome in power. When you speak it, we've sung today, it's a sword in your mouth, a sword in your hand. It goes into the spirit realm and destroys the enemy. And when it's destroyed in the spirit realm, you'll see it in the natural. Amen. God gave Joshua some instructions in Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 to 9. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 to 9. God said a few things there. Firstly, he said, be strong and courageous. Don't go weak at the knees. Don't give in to fear. Be strong and courageous. Obey me. Keep my word ever before you. This is the most powerful book in the universe. God give you one verse, then read it and shout it out to the devil. Hit him with it every day. Don't say anything other than what God says. When they were walking round the walls of Jericho, Joshua said to the people, keep quiet, don't say a word. Now can you imagine when God said to them, just walk round the wall. And next day he said, walk round the wall. And next day he said, walk round the wall. And next day he said, and walk round the wall. And next day he said, and walk round the wall. And next day he said, and walk round the wall. And on the seventh day, he said, walk round the wall seven times. Then you can shout. You can blow the trumpet and the wall will fall flat. Praise God. Now, if they'd have been able to speak every day when they were walking round that wall, what do you think they'd be saying? I'm tired. This is stupid. What will the people think? They'll think we're a bunch of fools. It's good that God tells us to keep our mouths shut. If we can't say anything positive, say nothing. When you're down in the dumps and the situation is getting on top of you, get your sword, get it out, and shout the word of God. The walls will come tumbling down. God said to Joshua, keep my word ever before you. Meditate it. We don't meditate the problem. We meditate the answer. Meditating is like worrying, thinking all the time. So instead of thinking the problem, think the word, speak the word, do what the word says. God said to Joshua, trust me, don't be afraid. He said to him, I'm with you all the way. Yes, I'm so glad God's with me all the way. Wherever you are, whatever's happening, God is with you all the way. He has never left you. He's never forsaken you, and he never, ever, ever will. He will do what he said he will do. Praise God. God has called us in Harvest Fields to be a spiritual people. God wants people of the Spirit. He doesn't want a church that has a good band with flashing lights and loud music. That's all about our emotions. If that's your type of thing and it's not mine, when the flashing lights and the smoke machines died down, you'll be as flat as a pancake. There is a place for praise, but it's got to be God's way. He's not looking for a church with deep intellectual teaching. There is a place. We need the Word of God so much. But if it's just feeding our intellect and not bringing our spirit alive, it's no good. The Word without the Spirit is dead. God wants a spiritual people. He's not looking for a church that has traditional rituals. Religion won't do it. He's looking for a spiritual people. God does the work, we don't. We were been talking on Wednesdays about how God's interested in the smallest thing to the biggest thing. Andrew and Bill say when they're going, they need a parking place, they ask God. When we need a miracle for healing, we ask God. Doesn't matter, God hears them all and he works. I just want to tell you about another prophecy that came to us just 2 years ago. Andrew and I went to Rwanda, and the very first church service, after the first church service, a young lady in her early 30s came to see us, and she shared with us what God had given her. Some months before Andrew and I went to Rwanda, God had spoken to this girl, Anne. She said, "I'm sending a man called Andrew." She thought, "Andrew, I don't know any Andrew." "Andrew's a white man," God said, "but he has a Rwandan heart. And I want you to say this to him." She said, "You've been through a very difficult time and had a lot of rejection." And she related to Andrew many things that had happened in the years that we'd been walking with God. It was as if she knew him. But she said, "In future, Andrew, you'll be working with young people. I'm going to take you to another level. God is going to restore what the devil has stolen. The young people will be praying for others and seeing them healed. Something great is going to come from this work. God is bringing many people to stand with you. There'll be praying people filled with the Spirit of God. This ministry of healing, deliverance and restoration will never be stopped. The whole nation will hear what God has done." God said he'll do a first. I don't know what he's going to do, but it's going to be powerful because it's God's work. The year before, 3 years ago, another lady came and ministered, and she prophesied. And she said that Harvest Fields would have a powerful youth work. She said, "I'm taking you into a new era, greater power, greater anointing. I see others coming from other lands, others who will come and run the vision with you." She said, "The work isn't small, it's big." And she said, "The time will come that people will be running to the church and won't want to leave." I think between the two prophecies, there's lots of same things being said. So we don't know how God's going to do it. All we know is he's going to do it. Amen. Andrew and I can't do that work. We can't do the work. Daniel can't do the work. None of us can do the work. But God will do it. God has said it. He will do it. It will be a first. It will be a miraculous work. Am I excited? God, you're so awesome. Why us? But God said, God will need us, and he does need us to be involved. There's a saying in the world, isn't there? If you want something doing, ask a busy person. So I'm saying to all of us, nobody's too busy to be involved. He's not going to ask the person who lays in bed all day. He's not going to ask the person who's afraid of work. He's not going to ask the person who's got every excuse in the book. He's going to ask a busy person. Who's a busy person? You're an ideal candidate for God, okay? God is going to involve you because you're a busy person. And a busy person will always say, I can do it. A busy person is busy because they're willing. And you may be a busy person and you may think, how can I possibly fit anything else in? But my experience is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God's saying to you, will you put me first? If you put me first, I'll take care of everything else. And miraculously, he does. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. So I'm here to say to you today, God has given us a vision. And he said, without a vision, the people perish. So let's run with the vision. We need to be involved. We need to be in the prayer meetings. Andrew's printed a sheet off with prayer meetings. We need to be in the Bible study. We need to know this word of God. We need to feed on it together and get excited together. We need to listen to God together. We need to step out in the gifts of the Spirit, and this church will grow mightily because God is building his church. God will build this church. Say it. God will build this church. Amen. Right, God will build this church, and I'm going to be involved. I am going to be involved. I'm going to pray and believe and stand until I see. We're ready for it. We're ready. Let's call those young people in from the north, south, east and west. Amen. God, bring them in. God, bring them into us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So be it. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. God has got good things, a land of good things for us. Let's press in and make them ours. Amen. Don't listen to the devil. Keep your eyes on God and you can't lose. Praise God. Keep rejoicing. Rejoice. Who's at work in you? God's at work in you. The greater one is in you. You can do it. He is doing it through you. Amen. Let's do it. Praise God. Amen.